Okay, today I would like to speak to you about discerning between good and evil. See, knowing the difference between good and evil, I don't believe it comes automatically upon conversion. You know, some people think that once you become a Christian or someone will lead someone to the Lord, we expect that person to all of a sudden know everything about good and evil. But I don't believe that that's the case. Because I can share my own testimony when I first became a Christian, and I probably have shared this before. Within a week or two that I became a Christian, I had my brother-in-law coming over my place, and he's the one that led me to the Lord. And I used to take these foam cups from work. I mean, we probably never used them. I just take them for no reason whatsoever, thinking maybe when we go for a picnic, we can use these foam cups. Because it used to rain foam cups that were boxes and boxes. Let's say a packet of, I think, 25. And one day, my brother-in-law came over and he said, actually, I offered him, I didn't want them. I said, you want these cups? I just got them from work, but I... And so he called me outside. He said, can we have a talk in the backyard? I said, yeah. And he explained to me that those cups been stolen. As I said to him, I got them from work. Very nicely, he explained to me that that's a sin, that's stealing. And I said, how can it be sin? I said, it's only a few cups. And he explained to me, biblically, that that was a sin, taking cups. And you see, I didn't realize that. Being a new Christian, I didn't know everything about good and evil. I knew some things were evil, but not everything that the Bible talks about. Well, I believe now that it's an ability that comes with time and exercise for one to know exactly what's good and what's evil. And let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, note the two types here, two contrasts. One is a child and one is mature. One is unskilled and one is trained by practice. Also, their diet is one on milk and one on solid food. So to distinguish from good and evil, good from evil, is evidence of maturity, I believe. Anyway, I think to really distinguish between good and evil, it's a sign of maturity. And the reason I'm talking about this today is that we may be able to discern what's good and what's evil, that we may have a closer walk with God. Now, deciding what is wrong and what is evil, really, it's pretty easy when it comes to decide. But it involves asking a few questions. And that's what we're going to do today. Ask a few questions. For example, the first question, is it clearly condemned in the Bible? Whatever situation we are facing, is it clearly condemned in the Bible? There are many things that are very clear in the Bible as being wrong. And one list that we're going to read in a moment is found, actually there's two lists which we will be reading, which is very clear that these things are sinful. So let's open to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And another list we will find in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 9. Ephesians 5, 3 to 9. Just a few pages. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a man, as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. These, of course, are not of the Spirit, these things. So they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If we do any of these sins and continue to live in these things without repenting, then we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We know they're sinful. So for things that have been mentioned here, there's no argument. The matter is settled. Once we read the Bible and we know what's wrong, we just don't do them. It's very, very easy. So we don't need to ask, is one of these a sin? We don't need to ask that, because we know it's sin. And that's why it's important to read the Bible. That's why it was important for me, as soon as I became a Christian, to start reading the Bible straight away. Someone rang us this afternoon, actually, asking a question about something which was pretty simple. Someone asked this person a question and couldn't answer that question. So they rang us up. But you see, this person needs to start reading the Bible, needs to start learning, needs to attend church, needs to start attending home group. How else are you going to learn without hearing the word of God? So something for these sins, as I said, there is no argument. So at least as far as Christians are concerned, there is no room for debate, because the Bible clearly condemns these things. Now, for example, I've opened up with about stealing. See, it depends on how the person was brought up. I was brought up to believe that stealing is not always a sin. Not all stealing is sin. If you stole from the poor, then that became a very big sin. If you stole something from the rich, like a few cups from a company that's worth $7 billion, that wasn't a sin. You can just say sorry to God and that's it. But if you stole from the poor, you had to go to confession and ask for forgiveness. And because I was brought up in that way, when I became a Christian, I didn't know that sin was a sin until my brother-in-law told me. And he made it very clear. If I stole a biro, that doesn't belong to me, it's a sin. Because God doesn't say you shall steal from the rich, but not from the poor. There's no such thing. There's only one sin for stealing, and that's stealing. So when we become Christians, we need to know these things. Praise God that I learned very quickly, within 2 weeks, as I said, that stealing was a sin. And I repented from that, and I've never took another thing again. That was the end of it. Turned away from that sin. And that's what repentance is. We repent and we turn away from that sin, never to do it again. But not all sin is mentioned in the Bible by name, like these since we just read. For the Bible would be endless if it had to mention every sin that's in the Bible, every sin that exists. There wouldn't be enough room to write them, all. So another question then needs to be asked. Is it similar to things condemned in the Bible, the situation we're facing? Is it similar to things that we just read? Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Oh, sorry, no, we don't have to look at that. We just read it. But did you notice in there, in those verses, the phrase, and the like? I don't know if you noticed that. There's a phrase there, and the like. So when we are not sure about something, we should ask the question whether it is like any sins that has been mentioned. Now I'll give you an example to that. What about smoking marijuana? People ask that question. I've heard people asking that question. Some people say, well, marijuana makes you happy. So if it makes you happy, with some people it makes them aggressive. I've seen people very aggressive with marijuana, very aggressive. Some people get happy. Now, we can say the same thing with drunkenness. Some people get very happy when they drink. My brother was one of them. I don't know, I haven't seen him for 11 years. But when he was drunk, he'll give you anything. The kids never asked him for anything except when he was drunk, because they knew they'll get what they want from him. If my niece wanted a pair of jeans that was expensive, she never asked him unless he was drunk. His wife was the same. She needed a new set of pots, a set of dishes. She waited till he had a few drinks and he'll give her anything. But I also have seen some drunks very aggressive. And we see it all the time now in Melbourne, how people drink and get very aggressive. So isn't then marijuana similar to drunkenness? Drunkenness, we know it's a sin. So isn't marijuana similar? So what I'm saying is, it might not be the word marijuana, might not be in the Bible, but it's still a sin. And doesn't it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, says that we should honor God with our bodies. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Okay, so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, how can we honor God with our body if someone is on marijuana? Because it's not mentioned in the Bible. I mean, I will give an example here. We are not honoring God. Plus, another way to look at it, it's an illegal substance. So if it's an illegal substance, it automatically becomes a sin if we're doing something illegally. We can also compare whatever we're facing, we can compare it with the good things mentioned in the Bible. There's many, many good things mentioned in the Bible. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which you are, I'm sure you're very familiar with. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So we ask, is the matter in question, whatever we're facing, more like the fruit of the Spirit, which is of God, or the works of the flesh, which of course, that which is evil? Another question that we need to consider also, does it hurt your conscience, this thing we're facing, whatever it might be? Does it hurt our conscience? And I want to read a few verses from 1 Timothy on this. We'll start at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Okay, that's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these, so have shipwrecked their faith. And just one more verse, again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now, we could talk about these four different things here all day long, about these four characteristics. A true Christian will produce love, first of all, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And the good conscience here comes not from being perfect, because we'll never be perfect, but from having nothing hidden from God. That's where it comes from. We cannot hide anything from God, because God knows all things. We can try to hide. Sometimes we think God is deaf. You know, some of the words we say, sometimes that's not appropriate. You know, maybe we're upset or we're angry. We think God is not hearing us. He's deaf for a moment. You know, or God is blind. He can't see what we're doing in secret. You know, that's why we can't live one way in the church and another at work or at home. Because God knows all things. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what we're thinking. So we can't hide anything from God at all. God is listening to every word we say. And I just like to read another verse from 1 Timothy, which is in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, actually. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry or order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Yeah, so the fact sometimes that people can come to a point when they can, you know, speak lies and hypocrisy and have no sense of wrongdoing, it's hard for most of us to identify with, isn't it? They purposely, some people do the wrong thing. They know it's wrong and say that they are not doing anything wrong. You know, they try to justify themselves. I had a very good friend of mine who loved the Popes. He was a Christian, supposed to be, call himself a mature Christian. And he tried to justify himself by saying, well, I get bored in the evening, and my wife gets bored, and we just go to pass the time. And I'm not talking about someone who lost $5 or $10. I'm talking about someone who lost thousands of dollars on poker machines. Now, he justified himself so much that he made himself believe that he was not doing nothing wrong. Because what he says, well, I worked for my money, it's my money, and I'm not hurting anybody. And all I'm doing is, with me and my wife, we're having a good time playing poker. I love playing poker. He said, that's the only hobby I got. I got no other hobbies. I don't smoke. I don't drink. See, we can make ourselves believe that what we're doing nothing wrong. We can actually train our brain to believe that. they try to justify themselves. You know, some people say, well, maybe you've heard it. Well, I had to lie. If I didn't lie, there was going to be trouble. I had to lie. You know, I was put in a situation where I had to. Or, well, I had to steal. I mean, it was in front of me. How could I resist it? Maybe, you know, it sounds funny, but sometimes you hear these things from Christians. And it's very sad, very, very sad. Just like us to read a verse from Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans 14, verse 23. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. See, doing something when we doubt its righteousness is to violate your conscience. And Paul says that is a sin. Even there might be nothing wrong with it. But if our conscience tells us that it's wrong to do, let's say I went out with dinner. Me and Sue went out for dinner with another couple. And we know that couple don't dead against alcohol, and it offends them if you have alcohol. And let's say I like to have a glass of wine after dinner, and my conscience tells me I shouldn't have it, for example, because of this couple. If I went ahead and said, oh, well, bad luck, you know, if they don't like wine, if I had it, even though I'm not doing nothing wrong, but it's still a sin, because my conscience is telling me that it's wrong. And I'm having it, knowing that I'm going to offend others. Same with work, our panel, sometimes we go for dinner. And if there was a Muslim amongst us, and I know they're against pork, as you know, and my conscience tells me don't order pork today because of the person, so you don't offend him. And I go ahead and order pork. It's all bad luck. He's a Muslim. He doesn't like pork. It's not my problem. I like to have pork. It's a sin. I shouldn't have it. I can have pasta or fish or whatever. There's so many other things I can order. But you know what I'm saying? Our conscience tells us that it's wrong. Then don't do it. We're not to do it. So an act may be good of itself, but if you think it's wrong or have doubts about it, just don't do it. And if we are still not sure about something, then we need to ask a mature Christian, someone who is mature in the things of God, and then we need to listen to their advice. There's been times when I went to mature Christians asking for advice, some things where I wasn't sure, and we all need to do that. Not just to ask for advice, but then to listen to the advice as well. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, Paul instructed Titus that the younger should look to those older. And I'm not talking here about age. I'm talking about maturity. There could be, you know, I'm 56. There could be a kid of 20-year-old who's got maturity in the Lord. I can go to that person. Because when Paul talks about maturity here and not age. Because in Hebrews 5:14, which we read before, it says that those who by reason of use are in a position to discern. This is why the advice of a mature Christian is important, because a mature Christian can discern what's good and what's evil. And finally, we can ask the question, this thing I'm facing, whatever it might be, would Jesus do it? A very simple question. If you don't think Jesus would do it, then it's probably wrong, isn't it? Would Jesus do it? For that person who, as I said, you know, loved the pokies, if you ask the question, would Jesus do this? I think he probably would have known that the answer would be no. The person that had too much to drink. Oh, well, it's Christmas, and Christmas we celebrate, so we have an extra. Have you heard that before? We'll have an extra drink. And I'm not talking against drinks here. You know, one of the things it saddens me a lot is when people say, oh, well, even Jesus drank wine. Why shouldn't I? And look, Jesus, the wine Jesus drank, I mean, I was doing a study once on that. It talks about non-alcohol wine as well. So probably the wine that Jesus drank was non-alcoholic. We see today, well, it's beer non-alcoholic. There's wine that looks like wine, it tastes like wine, and it's non-alcoholic. It smells like wine, it's non-alcoholic. Now they know things that they knew 2,000 years ago about wines and beverages, that today they're alcoholic, and in those days they weren't. And when I looked at once the original word about the wine Jesus drank, I mean, it looked like that word is for a non-alcoholic drink. But people still accuse Jesus. Jesus drank wine, so if Jesus drank wine, I can drink wine. And the other thing I say to them, Jesus never got drunk with wine. So, you know what I'm saying? We can do things that and try to justify it because he done it or because everyone else does it. But doesn't make it any better. It's still a sin. If God says it's a sin, it's a sin. So we need to be careful not to try to justify ourselves in saying, yeah, it's good because I'm only passing the time doing this or that. Or I'm only having it to celebrate, celebration. So would Jesus do it? I think that would be the best question, the best to ask. Would Jesus do it? So I hope that these questions maybe can help us in identifying what is good and what is evil. May we pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you again this evening, Lord. I thank you for each brother and sister that is here, Lord. Father, what we call the faithful ones, Lord God, real faithful people to come and hear your word. Lord, I just pray, Father, that we will be able to discern what is good and what is evil, Lord. Many things are very clear in the Bible that are wrong, Lord, and that's there's no argument about them, Lord God. We just don't do them. But Father, we're not sure, Lord God. Help us to go to mature Christians. There's many, many mature Christians who will help us, Father, in any situation that we may be facing. Lord God, for any person, maybe, Lord, whether it's addiction or whether they're finding it a problem to give up, Father. I just pray, Lord, the Lord will come before you, Lord God, and repent. Father, and you are faithful and just, Lord God, and you will forgive us our sins. And Lord, not only forgive us our sins, but Lord, if we truly repent and turn away from that sin, then the word tells us that you will remember that sin no more. You remember our sins no more. What a wonderful comfort that is, Lord, to know that we can be free from all addictions, all things that we shouldn't be doing. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, bless my brothers and sisters here, Lord, for their faithfulness, Lord, in coming this evening, Lord, and being part of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.